Welcome to Driven to Business with your host, Eddie Mayfield. Driven to Business is a business forum program that focuses on success principles in business. And now, it's time for Driven to Business.
Good morning and welcome to this week's edition of Driven to Business. Eddie Mayfield, I'm glad you're here. We have a great guest today, Glenn Meekham. I have a lot of admiration for Glenn. He's been on the program before. Glenn is the founder and the CEO of Forever Inc., which is the world's first and only permanent media storage and sharing company. Glenn's got a long history of entrepreneurship and venture capitalism. Back in the 2000s, Glenn founded a capital firm called Meekham Becker, and those guys had a lot of success with a lot of technology companies, including Kiva, which was sold to Amazon, Hotpads, which went to Zillow, Shipwire, which went to Ingram Micro, and Cloud Meter sold to Splunk. And he, before that, was involved with a company called Free Markets, which at one time had a publicly traded cap of $13 billion. Glenn, welcome to Driven to Business.
Hey, Eddie, it's great to be here. Thanks.
I should also say, Glenn also hosts a weekly radio, nationally syndicated radio program, and so I'm a little intimidated having Glenn on here. He has more radio experience than I do. So,
well, I'm not. I'd say regionally syndicated. It's mostly in the Northeast.
Well, good deal. Glenn, tell us. I've been doing a little bit of reading about your company Forever, and it's kind of timely because our company's in the middle of moving everything to the cloud. So I've been thinking and studying about all this stuff here recently. Tell us about this.
Well, you know, the idea for Forever basically came from my own needs. I was looking for a way to store all my really valuable photographs and videos, family photographs and videos. I have videos of my grandparents.
Wow.
And, you know, there was no way for me to, there was nothing on the web, there was no service where I could store this stuff in the cloud and have it be there, you know, where I owned it, I had the digital rights to it, I could have a succession plan where it would be there after I'm gone, and not only would I, my family and I be able to enjoy and share it now, but I'd know that my grandchildren and great-grandchildren and great-great-grandchildren could see that, could find this stuff, search for it, find it later. And it just, nobody had thought through this issue of permanence. And also trust, frankly, because most of the models out there, they data mine you, they advertise to you, you don't even own the stuff you upload. And I really wanted a place where I could save my material, my memories, videos and photographs and audio files and documents, where I could save it all permanently, where I could trust that a really great company and institution was going to look after it. And it was going to be there for the long haul. So that, you know, and it's funny, I have relatives, I have people, ancestors from the 18th and 19th century that I know about, and in the 19th century there were photos, but they're all gone. I don't know where they are. I mean, they're all lost. And so here I am 5-6 generations later. I'm interested in that family history. I know my descendants 5-6-7 generations from now will be interested, and I want to make sure that they have a place to go to find stuff. And that was the original idea for Forever.
You know, I've thought about that so many times. I've talked to some of our, I know you have, I didn't mention this in your introduction, you have five, you've been married to your wife for 25 years or so, and you have five kids. I'm slightly behind you, I have four. However, I have 15 grandkids, so I'm probably a step up on you there, I think.
Yeah, you're ahead of me on that. My oldest daughter is just getting married this summer, so.
All right, well, good luck with that. We love, I tell you, I've kidded our kids and say if had I known how much fun grandkids were, we would have had them first if I'd had any idea that.
Yeah, the grandkids first would be a great idea.
You know, even in talking with them, though, we talk about this, we're a typical family like everybody else is these days. When our kids were little, this was back before the digital camera revolution and all that. You know, we took a bunch of pictures of them on film cameras, and we've got all those old things. And you know, this one Vicky was keeping, putting them in albums and all this kind of stuff. But well, now no one really does, or at least we don't do that anymore. And all of our pictures are taken on cell phones, which has very nice cameras, or at least a nice digital camera.
Yeah.
And then it's, what do you do with that stuff? Well, we upload it to a computer, and then it's backed up on something. And my kids will say, well, you know, we're putting them on DVDs. And I've reminded them, you don't know in 20 years you're going to have anything will play a DVD. I mean, it's very likely you may not.
And that's right. 10, 15 years ago, we all had things on VHS tapes.
Yes.
And now you wouldn't, even if you have a VHS player down in the basement somewhere, you don't dare put a tape into it because it'll eat it. You know,
exactly.
So this issue. One of the things we do. First of all, we have a fabulous if people want information, just go to forever.com, and you can sign up. You can become a free member, an intro member, which has no time limit, but it's free if you want to try Forever. But if you want to be a permanent member, then our storage options are very, very reasonably priced. You pay one time or a monthly subscription, and you pay into what's called the Forever Guarantee Fund. And basically, we're sort of part internet company and part life insurance company, where the money you pay in goes into a large reserve of the Forever Guarantee Fund, and that's a globally diversified portfolio of stocks and bonds, and that creates income, capital gains and income, and that capital gains and income, the draw from that every year pays for the storage and pays for the maintenance, and it pays for the applications too. So you get, once you become a member, you get use of the free mobile apps, and so whether it's an Android phone or a Apple phone, iOS, you can all the photos you take automatically back up to Forever, and then in the Forever Cloud, whether from your mobile device or on the web, you can organize albums, you can edit all the photos, you can delete, you can share with your friends and family, you can create an album electronically, then share it across with your friends and family. We have desktop apps that allow you to print. So we're a full memory management solution, and it's all backed up by the Forever Guarantee Fund, so that it's going to be there. It's never going to go away. It's going to be there. And one of the keys is we digitally migrate. So that over time, as file formats change, we change your file formats Wow. with the time, so that 20 years from now, 30 years from now, 40 years from now, you'll be able to view all those memories.
You know, I read up on Forever yesterday when I did a little research on that, and I was struck with this whole idea of this fund. That's a fabulous idea. This may ask you, was that your idea or did somebody else come up with that idea?
No, that's my idea. I'm the founder of the company, and actually we're patent pending.
Wow.
We have a patent application, and we're patent pending on the whole concept of permanent shareable storage in the internet cloud. And really the key is that it's not just the technology, it's the technology plus it's the finances. It's having this guarantee fund set up like there's two analogies for it. One is a life insurance company like a Metropolitan Life or a Chubb or one of those. When you have a life insurance policy, you don't worry about them being able to pay in 20 or 30 years. Why? Because they have huge capital reserves.
Right.
So we're creating a capital reserve with the Forever Guarantee Fund that pays out every year to keep your memories we have a guarantee your lifetime plus 100 years, but we're setting up the finances so it can go way, way, way longer than that. And the other analogy is a university endowment. You know, big universities, you're down there in Atlanta, you know, something like Emory, they've got a big endowment
right.
with billions of dollars in it, and that's invested globally in a diversified fund, and that creates money every year that the university uses to help fund operations. And that's another good analogy for what we're doing with the Forever Guarantee Fund.
You know, the other thing that you touched on very, very briefly was the idea of you know, when you upload stuff to Google, for instance, and it becomes a little iffy as to who actually owns that when it's up
yeah.
there. And it also, they have pretty much, they've sort of gone back and forth on this, but, you know, they have admitted pretty much they are data mining you when it's there.
Yeah. Yes, if you like Google, you know, Google's fabulous. I love Google. But Google is the, you know, we're at Forever, we're on a mission. We're here to serve families, and we're here to serve mom. It turns out the people who are most concerned about this are mothers.
Right.
And there's millions of moms out there who are scrapbookers, who are traditional scrapbookers, digital scrapbookers, and we're here to serve those families and those moms, and we are absolutely passionate about the family memories and making sure that your memories are protected and you have all the rights, et cetera. That's us. Now, Google's wonderful, but they're for the masses.
Right.
They're for everybody, and Google, the way they make their living is they data mine every single thing you give to them. Your email, you use Gmail, they're data mining your
yep.
email.
Yep.
You use Google Photos, they're looking to see the ages of your children in the photos, and then they're sending you ads based on that. So they're
right.
data mining you, and it's very unclear who owns what. And in fact, like Facebook, they're not really a storage service, but Facebook is explicit. Everything you upload to Facebook, they own.
Right.
Think about that. Every single photo you upload to Facebook, as soon as you upload it, they own it. Think about that. They own it, right?
Yeah.
So with us, everything you upload is yours in your own account. In fact, part of what people buy when they become a member of Forever a permanent member is they buy their own permanent subdomain, and they own that. They own that. You know, I'm glennmeekum.forever.com, and I own that. So it's a whole different model. And like I said, we're creating it's a culture, it's a mission. It's not only a company, it's a culture and a mission to preserve people's memories for a very, very, very long time.
Well, I read a book not too long ago called The Naked Future by a guy named Patrick Tucker. I don't know if you've read that or not, but it's pretty interesting. And what he talks in there, and he's not opposed to technology. He's a marketer, but he sort of embraces it in a way. But he spends a lot of time talking about, I'd always wondered how companies like Facebook make money. I know they put ads over there, but it's not just that. It's the idea of what you just said. When you upload something to Facebook, they own it. They do track every like that you click. And maybe that doesn't bother you. And again, I'm not opposed to Facebook. That's fine. But the idea is they're part of big data, and they're selling that data to marketing firms.
Because they're not just selling general ads. They're selling targeted information, and
Right. They're
also selling leads.
Right.
They may sell you as a lead, and so the people are, marketers are out there directing messages specifically at you because they know so much about you.
I think that...
And that's the way Google is, that's the way Facebook is, and they're great, and they're free, and it's wonderful. But, we're a better service for really preserving the family memories, the really important stuff, and really all your photos. I mean, the great news about digital storage is it's gotten so cheap, and it's very inexpensive at forever.com. You can either pay once or pay over a 10-year period, and it's really,
right.
It's dollars. It's just a few dollars a month. But you have this amazing number of photos. You can save tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of photos. We're going to have video on the site early next year. And we have thousands upon thousands of members already across, not only across the country. We have 8 different countries now. I think we have 48 different states. We have the 2 smallest population states. We don't have members in yet, but we have members in 48 states and 8 different countries, and it's really just spreading like wildfire.
I think it's a great idea. I looked at your pricing on there. I don't know if I'm typical or not. What appeals to me on there would be the one time, because I don't want to fool with paying monthly things. So
right, right.
Pay once.
But we even have, even if you do the subscription, if something terrible happens to you and you pass away and you're not around to pay the whole subscription, it's all right. You're covered. We accelerate your ownership. But yeah, you can pay one time, own your space, own your own permanent domain within forever, and you never pay again, and it's going to be there for your lifetime plus 100 years guaranteed. No one else in the world does that. We're the first and only permanent shareable storage site, and like I said, it's that whole concept, the technology and the business system behind that is patent pending, and it's really going well. And we also have just this full suite of applications. We have beautiful desktop applications for organizing your memories on your desktop, Windows laptop or Windows desktop.
Let me talk to you more with that after the break. We'll be back in just a minute. You're listening to Driven to Business. Guest is Glenn Meekum. Be right back. Welcome back to Driven to Business. I'm Eddie Mayfield. Our guest today is Glenn Meekum. Let me remind you that we are streaming live on biz1190.com. Today's program will be podcast on eddiemayfield.com. By the way, you can find Glenn's company at forever.com. Glenn, you also have a big event coming up here, and there's actually a website for that. It's called foreverlive.com right here in Atlanta. Tell us about that.
Yeah, Forever Live 2015. And I also should mention, too,
Forever Live, you're right.
Forever Live 2015. Becoming a permanent member of Forever. We have a Father's Day special right now. It's Dad 2015, D-A-D, Dad, easy to remember, Dad 2015, and it's 30% off your Forever membership. So those one-time costs go down by 30%, or the subscription, doesn't matter. So it's the promo code is DAD2015 in case anybody's interested. But Forever Live, yeah, if you go to Forever Live 2015, www.foreverlive2015, you can also Google it, and you'll get to our Forever Live website. And yeah, we are having our first ever. Now, the company is 2.5 years old. We've been out in the market now about 1.5 years. We're having our first ever large national user conference, and it's called Forever Live, and it's going to be the weekend. It's going to start Thursday night, September 24th, going all the way through Sunday morning, the 27th. and it's going to be at the Grand Hyatt Hotel in Buckhead, the Buckhead neighborhood of Atlanta. So right there in your backyard,
right,
Eddie. And it's going to be we're going to have 600. We're actually limited to only 600 people because we got to make sure everybody's got enough bandwidth at the hotel. It's basically a large, what's called a digital crop, and people can come, bring their laptops, they can bring their iPads, their tablets, and they come and they can crop. They can actually organize photos there, and they can do a lot of just the organizing and editing and album creation and digital album. They can prepare for Christmas, and they can create all their albums they want to print out for Christmas and stuff like that. So it's a big cropping session for those people kind of in the whole community of digital scrapbookers or scrapbookers. They call them crops when mostly women get together to do all this work. But it'll be something like 24 hours of cropping time, either digital or traditional cropping. But more than that, we've got the reception Thursday night. We've got fabulous speakers during a Friday morning large ballroom session, and then Saturday morning large ballroom session. We've got Nick Kelsch, a nationally known, award-winning, renowned photographer and trainer and teacher of photography. We've got Tori Johnson, who's a New York Times best-selling author, talks about women's leadership and lifestyle. She's an ABC contributor. She's on ABC Good Morning America every week. Tori Johnson, who's fabulous. I'm going to be speaking, a number of other people. And then we've got an incredible gala celebration dinner and gala on Saturday night at the Hyatt Regency, and we have to talk about. I'm from the north, but we've got amazing southern flavor at this thing. We've got an amazing group called Delta Capella, which is a men's a cappella group. They are the most amazing American group. They range in age from 20s to 60s. They're just this wonderful diverse group of men who sing. And it is, it's hard to even describe. And they're gonna sing for 40. It's not a whole like concert for 2 hours. They're gonna sing for about 45 minutes or 50 minutes during our gala dinner. And then of course we have a DJ. We're gonna have dancing. We're gonna have an amazing dinner. And so the bottom line is we're calling this the photo party of the year. And it's gonna be this just fabulous event. It's gonna be a lot of women, a lot of moms, a few good men as well. And it's to get all the information, all I gotta do is go to foreverlive2015.com. That's foreverlive2015.com. It's really inexpensive. We got great, great, great group rates at the hotels at the Hyatt Regency or the neighboring Hyatt Place, or you can just, if you live in Atlanta, you can commute in. You don't or stay one night. Exactly. Do whatever you want to do. It's a free country. Do whatever you want to do, but it's only $199 for the whole thing. And people are just going to have a great time. So we're really looking forward to it.
You know, I knew very little about the whole scrapbooking and digital scrapbooking thing, but our sales manager's wife, David, up in New York, actually, is really into that. And she, and you know, it's one of these things you find that all these people are involved with that, and you're like, really, they did that? You know, so it's a whole community. It really is. I was kind of amazed to find out what I did learn about it.
And there's millions of women in America,
right,
not just in America, in other countries as well, who are really, and some good men too, who are really into this, collecting all the photos and organizing them and editing and then creating beautiful photo books that people print out. It's a huge thing for the holidays, for Christmas and Hanukkah and other holidays, birthdays and Mother's Day and Father's Day. It's a fabulous thing, a fabulous Father's Day gift. And then also a lot of people do for sports teams and for clubs and for arts activities. If your kid's in the school play, it's like at the end of the school play, you have a photo book that you print out and you design and you build digitally and then you print it out and give it to all the kids who are involved in the play. But then what's awesome, and we have fabulous software for doing that. But then what's also really incredible is you save it, because I know I've done these photo books in the past, and you make it for your mother, for grandma, for Christmas.
Right.
And then 2 years later, you say, boy, we put all that fabulous energy into that photo book. What computer did we save that on, or where is that?
Exactly.
Well, now it's in one permanent digital home at forever.com. And we're the only people in the world giving people that permanent digital home for all their stuff so that they can use it, they can share it now, and then it'll be there in 10 years. It'll be there in 15 years when you're getting ready for the rehearsal dinner for your daughter and you need to have a great slideshow. It'll be there, I hate to say it, but it'll be there in 35 years or 30 years when you're having the funeral of that
right,
of your father or your mother, and you want to have your grandparents, and you want to have a fabulous funeral and have all those memories. And it'll be there in 120 years when you want your descendants to know all about the family and know about your faith and know about your freedom you believed in and all those great things. It's just fabulous.
That's very appealing. You know, and I think as a person who, I hate to admit this, but, you know, Glenn, back in the early days of our company, we were backing up all of our data on, I think it were 7.5 inch or 7.25 inch floppies, wherever those things were, the big ones that used to have. And, mm-hmm. I don't own a single machine will play those things anymore. So, and I have stuff on them, you know, but that goes around where, I mean, trying to back that stuff up yourself is iffy because you can't possibly figure out what technology is going to, you know. I know in about a minute here, there are though people who listen, and I'm going to talk to you a little bit later about moving our business stuff on the cloud, but there are people who are suspicious of the cloud for a lot of reasons you've already outlined here, but you know, they'll say things, well, what if the company goes out of business and blah, blah, blah. Well, of course, part of your situation is you're actually setting up this fund to answer those criticisms about that, but I'm sure you do run into a little bit of that anyway, where people are just like, I hate to put all my stuff and trust, you know, somebody else up there in, I don't know anything about that cyberspace. Do you run into that?
Oh, sure, and I believe. Listen, if you have money you're investing for your retirement or your children's education, one of the keys is diversification.
Right.
Right. And the same thing is true with your memories, with your photos and your videos. You should diversify. Nothing wrong with having the 2 terabyte backup drive in your closet.
Right.
The only thing that's wrong about it is that we know that eventually it's going to crash.
Right.
There's about a 5% chance it crashes in the first year, and it goes up. It's about 10 or 12 the second year. It's about 20% by the third year. And,
right.
You know, 8 years from now, it's about 80% chance that thing's going to have crashed. So that means
right.
you have to buy a new backup drive, and you have to migrate everything over. Now, maybe you have the skills to do that, and you should do that, but why not have some diversification and have a permanent storage and sharing service? You know, have some pros like us doing it as well for you, and so there's just no reason not to use us, and also think about it in the longer run. At some point, you're not going to be there to back all that stuff up and transition that stuff. There's going to become a point when, if you want that material to be available to your family, gee, you know, in the old days, it was the dumpsters full of all the old boxes and all the old albums would mistakenly get thrown into the dumpster
right.
and lost that way. In the new world, it's the digital cliff. It's, oh, the 2 terabyte backup drive in Grandpa's closet's going to get thrown out by accident, or
right.
it's going to crash and no one's going to know how to revive it. So, you know, at some point, if you want your memories to last, you need to be in the cloud, and you need to have and this is where our insight, you need to have a financially strong, highly ethical player, or not player, institution.
Right.
That's what I'm building. We're building a financially strong, very, very technological, and very trustworthy institution forever that handles your stuff for you. And you know, as the founder and CEO, I'm all about that culture of trust and of caring. And, you know, I hope listeners can hear the passion of my voice. I think this is so important, and that's why I started this company, and that's why I'm building this company around saving and sharing your memories today.
I think there's no way anybody misses the passion you have about this. What a great argument. We're talking with Glenn Meekum. I'm Eddie Mayfield. This is Driven to Business. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Driven to Business. We're talking with Glenn Meekum with Forever, which is a great company for storing your memories and all things digital for now and pretty much forever. And Glenn, before the break, I'd ask you to go back and let's redo your, make sure everybody does hear your website. So, by the way, there will be a blog about this on eddiemayfield.com. You can go there if you're in the car and can't write this down. Just go to eddiemayfield.com, hit the blogs. There'll be a little blurb about this. There'll be all the links we're talking about here. But Glenn, give us the links again to your sites.
Yeah, the main site is forever.com. Just the word forever.com. I mean, we're dead serious about this. So when I started the company, we were able to buy the URL domain, the domain forever.com. So the company is Forever Inc. And the domain, you know, the website is forever.com. Just but it's our brand forever, but the word forever.com. And if you have questions, we actually, one of the things we pride ourselves on too is we have wonderful people on the phone who will answer your questions and who can guide you through. If you have questions about the software or want to talk to somebody about the questions before you buy or anything like that, just call 1-888-FOREVER. 1-888-FOREVER, toll-free number. And then, of course, we're having this amazing event in Atlanta. And we chose Atlanta because, frankly, Atlanta is such a patriotic family kind of place. It's full of you talked about a lot of women in that culture of digital scrapbooking. Well, it turns out that Atlanta and Georgia are just some of the heartland of digital and regular right. scrapbooking, and that's one reason we chose it. And it's, you know, I'm based in Pittsburgh. Atlanta's not that far away. It's just a sort of a drive straight south for 10 hours, and boom, you hit Atlanta. And so it's easy for my team and I to get there. We have some people on the ground in Atlanta, and we got a terrific deal at the Hyatt Regency Hotel in Buckhead. And so anyway, it just worked out great. It's going to be the first ever Forever Live conference. We're going to have one of these every single year. We're going to rotate cities, but the first ever is going to be in Atlanta. It's starting Thursday evening, September 24th, going to Sunday, the 27th of September. That's this year. It's only $199 conference fee. We've got very reasonable room rates negotiated with Hyatt. And to get all the information and to sign up, all you need to do is go to foreverlive2015.com. We'd love to have you. And final reminder is that we have a promotion going on right now for Father's Day. If you're a woman and you want to treat yourself, you can to a Forever account and get 30% off. All you have to do is remember the promo code DAD2015. DAD2015. And if you want to buy a Forever account for your husband for Father's Day, go to Forever and sign up and use the promo code DAD2015. It's DAD2015 is the promo code.
Just so you know, I already wrote this down. I'm going to text it to my kids as soon as we get off the air here. Because we've actually had this discussion about our stuff. What are we going to do with all this? And it is a great idea. I'm going to segue just for a second here. You've been a fairly strong conservative voice for both inside and outside of business. I'm just curious. I don't want to take the whole program that way, but what's your take? Just I think I could probably guess it, but what's your take just on the direction the U.S. seems to be taking now in view of traditional values?
When you look at traditional family values, we've been moving away from traditional family values, and I think, you know, Eddie, there's a real fine line too, because you know, I think all of us, I'm a churchgoer like many other people, and I think that all of us want to be open and inclusive, and certainly you think about, you know, I'm a follower of Jesus, and you think about who would Jesus have dinner with and break bread with if he came right. back? Now, he'd have dinner and break bread with anybody, right?
Right.
So I think on the one hand, we want to be very inclusive and understanding of difference, et cetera, but what we got to do is we got to find a way in this country to be understanding and inclusive, but not ruin children and not ruin family.
Right.
And we need to have strong marriages in this country where moms and dads stay together and raise children, and then like you're doing, raise grandchildren and have roots, deep roots. And of course, all the social sciences in, right, left, or center, anybody who studied this knows that when the family breaks apart, children are hurt.
Yes.
And children from broken families who are raised by single moms, and we no insult to single moms. I mean, single moms do a great job. They're trying real hard. But children raised in single family situations are much poorer, much less educated, have higher crime rates, the whole litany of problems. Children raised in that environment don't do as well because so many people are divorced. But divorce is not good for children either.
No.
It's not. I mean, that's the honest. If I was a politician, I wouldn't say that because 50% of people, you know, but it's, the truth is that children are negatively impacted by that as well. So if we want to have a strong society, we've got to have strong families. And we've got to find a way to be inclusive and open-minded and tolerant, but also have strong families.
Glenn, have you got do you have a favorite in the, at least on the Republican side, do you have a favorite in that pool yet, or are you just sitting back and waiting to see what happens?
Well, I haven't. I do a radio show, as you know, Eddie, and I have not endorsed anybody.
Right.
But I tell you, I like a lot of the candidates. I'm very disappointed in Barack Obama. Didn't vote for him, of course.
Right.
But because I never liked his policies, I never liked the high taxes, bigger government, more regulation. I thought that was the wrong and weaker foreign policy, withdrawing from the world. 6-8 years ago, I was saying publicly, I thought those were all the wrong directions for the country. Nationalized health care, I thought that was all the wrong direction for the country. I think that we all now see, the majority of Americans see, right, that was the wrong direction for the country. I think that Hillary Clinton's advocating staying on that same course, and again, whether you like her or not, those policies, higher taxes, bigger government, more regulation, nationalized health care, weak foreign policy, America withdrawing from the world, it's bad for our kids. It's bad for all of our jobs. It's bad for jobs, kids. It's bad for the world because the world's becoming a more dangerous place. So I think we all see that. And now on the Republican side, there's a lot of people who are making a lot of sense. I will tell you that I do have a favorite in the race, but there's a lot of people I like. But my favorite in the race so far, he's not in the race yet. He's going to be in the race. Well, by the time this is on the radio, he'll be in the race. Scott Walker.
Yeah.
I think this guy is a special guy. I think he's very Reagan-esque. He's from a very humble middle-class background, and he is. I think he's won either 9 or 10 straight elections.
Right. He's in a very difficult environment. He's won those elections.
And he's a guy who's got the right values across the board, and I think he'll stand up for America. I really think Scott Walker would be a terrific president. I think Kucinich would be a great president, Governor Kucinich. I think that Marco Rubio is a very attractive candidate. I like him a lot. I got to tell you, I've been very impressed with Carly Fiorina.
Yep.
You know, there are people who want to be critical of her, but she'd be about a million times better than what we have right now.
Right.
And I think she's an interesting candidate. Of course, I like Ben Carson, too. I think Ben Carson is a, you know, when you get to Carly and Ben, you got non-traditional candidates, and neither one's really been an elected senior-level official before.
I've been a fan of Ben Carson for a long time, long before he ever announced politics. And I really do like him, too. And the others you mentioned, I like them, too.
So that's my, you know, those are kind of the ones at the top of my list. But if we had Scott Walker as president with Carly Fiorina or Ben Carson or Marco Rubio, any of those people as vice president, I would be standing up and, I mean, if they became the candidates, I'd be standing up and cheering. If they won and Walker became president with any of them as vice president, I just think America would be heading in the right direction, because we've been heading in the wrong direction here for 6 or 8 years now, and it shows in the economy, it shows in the negative attitude a lot of people have, and we need to. I remember this. I'm old enough to remember the 70s very well, and I remember how bad things were under Jimmy Carter,
right.
And I remember how Ronald Reagan turned it around, and I'm really hoping that we have a great new president who turns it around for us.
Well, Jimmy Carter had a big influence on my life. That's when I became a Republican. I actually voted for him the first time and campaigned for him. It was the first president I ever campaigned for the first time he ran. I was very excited about it in campaign, but after his first term in office, that sort of.
Yeah.
And I don't think he's a bad guy. I'm not saying that, but I was not pleased at all, and so I became a Republican after that.
You know, higher taxes, bigger government, more regulation, and weakness abroad does not work. Forget right, left, center, whatever, liberal, conservative. Forget all that. Just think about what works. Higher taxes, bigger government, more regulations, all that stuff suffocates business and starves us of jobs. And then weakness abroad. Hey, if you think the world is full of lovely, wonderful people and everybody, it's just buttercups and daisies, and all we have to do is give peace a chance and we'll all hold hands and dance together through the daisies. If you think that's the way the world works, then you haven't read history and you haven't read the Bible.
Absolutely.
Because all those books are very, very clear. That's not the way the world works.
Absolutely. I did a show a few weeks ago about what to do if your business is in a slump. This is addressed to small businesses. And one of the things I said in there, that sitting around moping about it was not one of them. That's one thing you can't do. I was curious how a live wire like you and all the stuff you've got going, what keeps you focused and energized about all the stuff you have going on?
Well, that's a great question. I guess I feel like God gave me many gifts, and I'm on this earth for a purpose. And what's my job every day? My job every day is to be the best father I can be the best husband I can be, and try to professionally try to fulfill the purpose I have on this earth, and try to understand what that is, look for, you know, pray and look for the clues and understand what that purpose is, and then contribute as hard as I can. And that's the kind of the philosophy. I think that at a practical level, we all have financial responsibilities, and you know, I'm driven by wanting to do as well as I can for myself and my family, especially my family, And I one thing I didn't understand when I founded Free Markets. You mentioned that company, Free Markets.
Right.
I founded it in 1995, took it public in 1999, and then it was in the middle of the bubble. We had this amazing market cap. Of course, we were all locked up. All the early investors and management, we were locked up, which meant we couldn't sell any shares.
Right.
So I rode the thing all the way up and all the way down, and I ended up doing very, very well. I mean, we sold the company for a lot of money and stuff, but I didn't make it, you know, nearly, not even close to what it was worth for a while there. And so what I learned is there's a downside. You know, to win the game, and I love military. You know, I was a Gulf War veteran. I was an officer in the Army, and I love sports too. And so I like to make military analogies and sports analogies, but the sports analogy I think is very true about business. Is to win, and this is not only true in business, it's true in life, you got to play offense, and you got to play offense really, really hard. And sometimes the best defense is offense,
right?
But then you got to play defense too. You got to have a backup strategy. You got to think, gee, what happens if things don't go so well? What's my backup plan? And so I'm motivated every day to be on offense, building the business, making my investments work, et cetera. But I also think about the downside. And frankly, knowing, and this is part of the problem with too much of a safety net in society, knowing that my family is hurt if I can't afford to pay for things is a huge, as a father and a husband, that's a huge motivator for me. You know, my wife is, I have a great wife. I've been married almost 26 years now, and we have 5 children, and she's been, people say, well, does your wife work? And I say, she works really, really hard. She works really, really hard raising all these kids. But I'm the income, you know, and she and my kids rely on me. And it's very, very, very motivating because I know that, hey, if I do really well, we can do special things and we can have great things to look forward to. But on the downside, if I don't do well, boy, it hurts.
I'm with you 100%. Thanks, Glenn. Back with a final segment of Driven to Business in just a moment. Welcome back to Driven to Business. Great show today with Glenn Meekham. This is the final segment. We're here every Saturday morning at 11 right here on Atlanta's Biz 1190, streaming live on biz1190.com. And today's program, if you missed part of it, will be on the eddiemayfield.com podcast and on iTunes. So check us out. Glenn, we're talking right before the break there about the idea of just staying motivated and keeping yourself pumped up and doing what we have to do. You know, one of I read other capitalists and who have made a lot of money, as you have, and been very successful in the business world, and a lot of them now are really warning, you know, printing some very, very negative stuff, warning of an inevitable, really extreme correction in the economy coming. Not to be negative, but how do you take that?
Well, I don't know. One thing I've learned is that you can't, it's as an investor, right? You know, I know a lot of people who, when Barack Obama was first elected president, they were, remember that spring of 2009, he got inaugurated in January, and then the stock market kept going down into March, and then that's when the whole Tea Party movement got started, because they were talking about these massive tax increases and Obamacare and all that kind of stuff. And the stock market was really, really low, and there were people I knew, smart people, who were saying, "Well, I'm selling everything I have. I can't be in the stock market anymore." And they missed the fact that all of the market had already discounted.
Right.
When you heard discount, they'd already included all that bad news in the prices, and prices were incredibly low in March and April of 2009. And they missed what they need to do is they need to stay cool and stay in. And I think that you got to be diversified, and you got to have a variety of different asset classes. And when in that kind of situation back then, bonds were skyrocketing and stocks were plummeting. Well, what do? You sell your bond. You rebalance so that you bring your bonds back in line, and you take that money and you buy stocks really low. And that's the way you got to think about investing. That's a quick explanation. But I think the same is true with your career and your business. You got to fight through the tough times. You got to be a smart business person. You got to be able to adjust your marketing. You got to be able to adjust your product. You got to be able to adjust your price. You have to be able to adjust your promotion. You know, all that kind of stuff. But you got to kind of be committed to being in the game. And I can't go to bed at night worrying about some cataclysm, you know, some catastrophe in the future. What I need to do is just keep executing, and be prepared. You know, and be prepared to fight on. I mean, I remember the morning of 9/11. At the time, I was CEO of my company, Forever Free Markets, back then in 2001, and I was a publicly traded company. I was a CEO of a publicly traded company, and you know, it was a disaster that morning,
right,
for the country. And you know what I did is the internet was shutting down. I sent everybody home early, but we made everybody got home safely. And then the next day, we all went back to work. And, you know, that's a great thing about America, and that's what you need to do to succeed, is we just have to put our noses to the grindstone and get back to work.
Lynn, if I could pick your entrepreneurial brain for just a moment. Obviously, you have seen and see opportunities in the technology of online storage, but you've been in the technology business really, and I would say a shaker and mover in that for a long time. Is there anywhere else that you... It's sort of a tickling in the back of your mind. You see opportunities right now in emerging things.
Well, yeah, you know, I've always been, I like technology. I like the internet. I like software because it's totally unregulated and it's been incredibly high growth and entrepreneurial. I got into it starting 25 years ago because it's where all the growth was and it's where I saw as an entrepreneur, where I saw opportunities to create new things. That's why I'm here in information technology. Now, I do know other people who've made a lot of money in biotech and in medical related things.
Right.
And medical IT is another big area. And then I know other people who've done really well in real estate, frankly, you know, and that takes a lot of, there's a lot of waxing and waning in real estate, so that takes a lot of skill, but I think there's opportunities in various places. One new area, I've got a friend who is the founder and CEO of a company called 4Moms, and they're a baby equipment, you know, they make strollers and cribs and all that kind of stuff, and they're challenging older companies like Fisher-Price and Graco in that industry, and 4Moms is just booming and exploding, and they're going to make a ton. They're doing really, really well. So I think that in various industries, if you really assert yourself and really decide you're going to create a great product or service and really do a great job for customers, you can succeed in a lot of different industries.
I think one of the things I see right now so much of an opportunity is it the increased emphasis in outsourcing. One of the effects of the Obamacare has been that a lot of companies are not hiring any more people than they have to hire because they don't want to carry the burden of them and having them hired. So that means there are a lot more things being outsourced, I think, than were being done in house. And a good, if you have a good skill set at some business service and you are a little bit of an entrepreneurial mindset, you can form a pretty good company.
There's a lot of opportunities that way, and that's where a lot of smaller opportunities are too. You don't have to be hundreds and hundreds of people to provide a service to other companies that don't want to carry too much staff anymore. That's very true.
You know, a few weeks ago, I taught a junior achievement day course at a middle school here in Georgia. And one of the things that was interesting to me, we were just talking about careers and jobs, and just in the conversation, about 35 kids in the room, I asked them, I said, because, you know, they had to put their phones up for school, but they all had someone in their desk there. I asked them, I said, how many of you kids are members of, like, Facebook? Not a single kid was a Facebook member. And so are there things like that? I was thinking maybe Facebook has run its course when guys my age are no longer there. Do you see anything in about a minute here that perhaps has run its course? You would say, I don't think I'd want to invest in that right now.
Well, I, it's funny. I don't. Other than my own company and private companies, like I'll invest in entrepreneurial opportunities that are new. I don't really invest in individual public stocks because I don't have time to study them. So I wouldn't pretend to make any recommendations. But the bottom line is there's always change. This is why the private sector is so powerful and why big government doesn't work.
Exactly.
Ronald Reagan said it, the closest thing towards immortality on this earth is a government program, because once something's funded, it never gets shut down. There's public sector employees there, and politicians who keep that thing open, even if it's not working. That's why we have, I don't know, something like 25 or 30 separate training programs run by the government for people who are unemployed. You know, all these different programs get set up, and nothing ever gets shut down. Well, the private sector, there's constant change, and there's constant battling for positions. And it's efficient, you know, and things that aren't working anymore go away, and things that are new and different come up, and that's why there's always change, and that's why there's lower, you know, prices are always getting better, and products are getting better, and there's always this growth and change and improvement, and that's what pushes society forward, is that competition and that freedom. And that's why we need, that's one of the big reasons we need freedom. And it works. It works really, really well. And it's moral and ethical because no one's, let's put it this way, enabling people to have the freedom to run their own lives, believe the way they want to believe, say what they want to say, own what they want to say, own what they want to own. This is ethical and moral. Whereas somebody telling somebody else, no, you can't have that. I'm taking that away from you. I'm taking that away from you with guns or with taxes. It's wrong.
I agree with that. You know, one of the things I learned, I was blessed to go to work at a young age for some guys out in Texas who were very entrepreneurial, and they sort of taught me the electronic motor drive business that I'm in now. And then when we moved to Atlanta to start a company over here. But, you know, one thing I learned in working for them that I didn't know before I worked for them was the fun, I'll just use that term, the fun of doing business, of figuring out how to get market share, you know, how to compete, how to stay abreast of technology, how to use the technology that's available. Those are all fun things. But you're right, you got to have the freedom to do that. You can't have someone just smashing you down and saying no, you can't be doing that. You've been a great guest.
That's why in France, you know, these laws, you can't work more than 37
exactly.
hours or something like that.
Exactly.
And that's depriving young, especially young people, it's depriving them of their freedom. It's wrong.
Yeah,
it's stealing their lives from them.
You're exactly right about that. Greeny, you've been a great guest. Thank you so much for coming on. Let me remind everybody again to go to forever.com and check out Glenn's excellent company there, and also the big event coming up here in September in Atlanta, the Forever Live. And Glenn, again, that's Forever Live 2015, right?
Correct.
All right. And Glenn, by the way, gave everybody away a way to save a little money. If you want to sign up, put promo code DAD2015 in there. Glenn, a great guest. Thank you for being here.
Hey, thanks, Eddie. Take care.
You've been listening to Driven to Business. I'm Eddie Mayfield. We'll see you guys again next week.
You've been listening to Driven to Business with your host, Eddie Mayfield. Visit next Saturday at 11 a.m. on Biz 1190 for more Driven to Business. To learn more about Driven to Business, visit eddiemayfield.com or call 770-448-4644.